I want to talk to you this morning about taking new ground. I want to start off with a story. I'm not a great storyteller. I know that. But this one I heard about a long time ago. Hold on, guys. I'm going to get the offering here. 1 second. All right. Well, I'll go right into it. Let's take our mornings, tithes, and offerings. When the board tells me to take an offering, I take an offering. Gentlemen, come forward. Let's just bless the house. And you know, I don't want to rob anybody of their blessing. But we're going to take it right now. Thank you, Denny Hooper, for setting me straight. Father, Lord, we ask that you touch the gift and giver today, Lord. We pray, Lord God, that you continue to do exactly what you've always done. And that's continue the movement of your spirit here at Calvary. We ask that your touch on each and every one of these fine people as they give in Jesus' name. Amen. As they're taking the morning offering, I just want to say welcome to the people online. We continue to reach out online to people who are listening to our podcast, listening on our website. So if it's you here or the many now that are following us on the iTunes podcast and also on the Android side of things, Calvary has a podcast here. It's called Calvary for Canton. The number 4 in the middle, Calvary for Canton. You can download that on your phone or what have you, and you can listen to us. Me or whomever in the future, you can listen to us, and hopefully we'll have that uploaded again today after today's message. But, you know, as they're taking the offering, I was going to run into a story, and here's the story. How many here can say that they really do like football? Not necessarily the NFL. So I got a good crowd here. I want to tell you a story this morning about football, and it goes like this. There was this coach years ago, and his name was Vince Lombardi. How many remember Vince Lombardi, right? Arguably one of the greatest coaches of all time. He was just methodical, had just this gift to teach. And I did some research on him, and I came across a story that just really intrigued me. I thought, that's a great story. Here's the story. Vince Lombardi coached the Green Bay Packers for a long time. He coached them before there was the Super Bowl, when they did NFL championship games and whatnot, and then they moved into the Super Bowl era. And that's probably what most of us here remember. If you remember the NFL championship games, then you've been around a few years. But those are great years. But he coached the Packers, and I did some research, and I found this story. And the story goes like this. You know, they had so much success as he was coaching. They didn't lose too many games. In fact, his record was over 100 wins with a handful of 30-some-odd losses throughout his entire career. Vince Lombardi's in the Hall of Fame, Football Hall of Fame, right down the street, the church. And you could go in there and you could read about him, but he only lost one playoff game in his entire coaching history. And that was the NFL championship game in 1960 against the Philadelphia Eagles. I believe the final score was 17-13 or 17-14, I think it's 13. But they lose the game, and he brings them into the locker room. The team is not used to losing. And he brings them in, and they're all kind of rejected and dejected, and the story goes, and he grabs a football, and he holds up the football, and he says, "You're not used to losing this game. But I'm going to tell you why you lost today. The only loss in the playoffs he ever had. And I'm going to tell you why you lost today in this championship game. Because we didn't do the most basic things in football. We didn't tackle. We didn't run, right? We didn't run our routes very well. We didn't do much of the basic stuff you have to do in this game to be successful. See, we got so used to winning that it became so natural to us that we forgot the very basics that you have to do no matter what you do. You have to do these basic things to be successful." And they never lost another playoff game. Because this team rallied and said, wow, what are those things? And as the story goes, he had to teach them to tackle again. He had to teach them to run again. He had to teach them the most fundamental things of the game because we forgot how to do them. And that really made me think of me. You know, I like football, and I don't follow it near as much today as I used to follow it because it's become so, you know. It's not as fun as the annual one. But my office at home is just filled with the greatest team that ever played in the NFL, the Dallas Cowboys. God's team, as we know. And if you're a good Christian born-again believer, you would follow the Cowboys because God does. I love this church. So, you know, it just got me really thinking, to be honest, of me and who I am, where I wanted to go. And then it made me think, who are we as church and where are we going and why? And it really got me thinking, you know, I've been talking about a lot of different things, and but I asked myself, and I know I do this a lot, I'd say, Lord, am I doing the right things? Are we going the right way? And I started thinking about this basics thing again that Vince Lombardi told his team you got to do, and I thought, am I doing that? And God was reassured me that you are, but gave me some thoughts of some more things and how to give a message today on taking some new ground. And if we're going to do what God's called us to do, there are some basic things we have to do and remember. See, if we forget the very basic things of Christianity and why we do what we do and who we are in Christ, if we forget the very basics, and we do, I have, then we're going to lose the game. We're going to lose out on what God's asked us to do. And I don't want that to happen. Denny just blessed my heart this morning when he made a couple comments because he's getting it. He's getting why I say what I do, why I preach what I do. And after today and in the weeks to come, I'm going to find out if we're all getting it. Because a few weeks ago, I told you I was going to challenge you on some things in the future. Today's one of those days to take new ground. But I came across a quote that kind of shook me up a little bit that Vince Lombardi talked about. And here's one of them. He says, I firmly believe that any man's finest hour, the greatest fulfillment of everything he holds dear, in the moment when he has worked his heart out for a good cause, and he lies exhausted on the field of battle, but he's victorious. Oh, that's interesting. But this one kind of shook me up more. The achievements of any organization, this is a football coach speaking, are the results of the combined effort of each individual. See, I come to a church, and I don't come to do. I come to lead and do with you and teach. And when Denny stands up here and says, you know, it's not the pastor's responsibility to grow the church, it's our responsibility to grow the church. And that's not Calvary Church. It's the Church of Jesus Christ. It's not the building, and we're going to get into that in a second. But Vince Lombardi said the final thing that I found, and this one is what put me over the edge, because this is my mother's, my dearly departed mother's quote, that she had on virtually everything. On her Bible, on her computer. And I thought all these years it was hers. And it was Vince Lombardi. She stole it. My mother is a thief. You know. Your grandmother stole this quote. She never put, this is Vince Lombardi. She just had this quote. Maybe it was just me, but it said like this. The greatest accomplishment is not ever failing. The greatest accomplishment is not in never failing, but rising again after you fall. See, that team rose again and went on to more victories and never lost a playoff game again. And that was the epitome of my mother's life. The most difficult life I've ever seen a person live. And I've testified that everything went wrong, everything. She was as sick as she could be for years and years and years. And she just continued to get up to fight another day. One day, God called her home. So I get to ask myself more and more that, well, who am I, and what makes me me, and what makes the church you? And I see that on our website, which I put there, it talks about this, and I was so glad that I put that on months and months and months ago. It says, our purpose for being, says, we reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus Christ. When we stop doing that, we're no longer the church of Jesus Christ. But why do we do that? We do it because we want them to live the better story that you and I are living with power, passion, and purpose. That's in the website. Really basic message. We reach people for Jesus. The only grade we get in heaven is that one. That's the only grade, the Bible says. That is our grading report card. And I want to make sure that we're doing it big. Because God sent his son here for that mission, and I want to make sure I as a person and we as a church are doing that. And so I'm going to go back and talk about some basic things today, and as I wrap it up towards the end, you're going to figure out why. But I want to talk about some basic things today. If you came in looking for a really deep message, it is a really deep message. It is the most important message of the gospel. You know, in John 17, Jesus was ending his earthly ministry. He was wrapping it up saying, I know where I'm headed, and I know what I have to go through to get there. He knew he was heading to the cross, and he was going to sacrifice his earthly life. So I had eternal life, and he goes into John. John captures this in John 17, and throughout the chapter of John 17, there's three big prayers that Jesus prays throughout John 17. He first prays for himself. Prays in the beginning of John 17 for him. Then he moves into praying for his best friends, his disciples. But today, I want to talk about the prayer he ends with. He prayed for you and I. This is really amazing to me. I've read the scripture, I don't know, hundreds of times. And did I really understand and let it pop out? It says that he's praying for me today, back then. Even back then, I was on his mind. And even back then, he's praying for me. And I'm going to go through a few scriptures, and I want that to come to reality for you. So we'll start, as they have it on the screen behind me, in John 17, 20 through 21. Jesus starts to gather people around, and he knows the end is coming, and he states, my prayer is not for them alone, the others. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father. Just as you are in me, I am also in you. May they also be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. I pray. And then he moves to John 17, 22 through 23, and he says, I have given them glory that you gave me. Father, I'm giving them what you gave me, and I'm going to pass it on, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Church, thank you for complete unity in the Calvary House. Then the world will know that you sent me and I have loved them even as you have loved me. He starts to make the connection from heaven through him to people. He's starting to tie it all up. He's trying to really send home the message that it is about people. It is about you and I. He's the go-between. And he's going to be sacrificed for you and I very shortly in this passage and as they move forward. But he's starting to try to, even more so than he did when he was going through the ministry, to pound home the message. It is not about him. It is about people and reaching people, both current, but me and you today. We have to go out and reach people. And Christ starts sending that home and continues in John 20:17-24. And he says, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, to see the glory, my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. The Father in heaven, before he created the earth, loved me and loved you, knew I would be here, knew you would be here, knew I would be here this very day on October 20, 2019, and knew you would be here as well. And Jesus starts to pray for that. That we would be connected from the Father through him to each and every one of us. And that we would go out, as Denny Booger said, and we would go get other people to connect through Christ to heaven just like we did. Why? People. All about people. It's all about people. He moves into John 17:25-26. He says, and here is where the rubber really meets the road. Righteous Father, though the world doesn't even know you, I do. And they know that you sent me. I have made you known to them, and I will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. Jesus himself is praying for you and I today, back then. The ones in Christ, the ones being searched for, because it's all about people. Now, there's people here today that don't really maybe feel like that. They're not feeling that they're loved. They're not feeling that there's grace. They're not feeling that they're really part of the people equation. And let me tell you, if that is you today, you could not be more wrong. That is probably the biggest lie that the enemy could tell you, that you're not worthy. That is probably the biggest lie the enemy could tell you, that you are not worthy. You are more than worthy. Because Jesus Christ said you're worthy. And he died for you because you're worthy. And he did. So Jesus prays. He first prayed for himself. He prayed for his friends, his disciples, and he moves into praying for me and you. As we make that connection to heaven. Back in verse 4, he talks about praying for the people in the future when he said things like this. Grab it back in my notes. He says in verse 4, chapter 17, verse 4. I didn't even read that, but here's what he said. It's not going to be on the board. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And I know I talk about this a lot, church, because that is the mission. That is the call. When I come back from being away, we're going to go into Mission Sunday, and we're going to emphasize spreading the gospel, not only throughout Canton, but throughout Ohio, throughout the nation, and then going to all the ends of the earth. Because that is exactly what we're asked to do. That's the calling of all of us. I cannot ever miss the fact that I can continually push that home to everybody at the church and give us the opportunity to do what Jesus called us to do. You know, if Jesus thought it was important enough to pray for us many years ago to do this, then I think it's important enough for the pastor to preach about it. A lot. A lot. It's all about reaching people. Let me give you a quote from Carl Henry. If you know Carl Henry, a great evangelical Christian theologian, and he said it like this: without recovery from our spiritual convictions and vitality that marked the church as the church came into existence, Christianity is unlikely to remain a serious contender among the world religions. Without the recovery of our spiritual convictions for people, the church won't make it. That is heavy for me. I've never read that before. That kind of shook me up. If we stop doing the basic things of reaching people, we will cease to exist. We won't be a church anymore. There will not be Calvary Church. It will not be the Church of Jesus Christ, because the task that we were given was to seek and save the lost. Pastor, you've preached about that a lot. Well, we're going into missions emphasis. We're going to preach about it not only today. We're going to preach about it again here in a few weeks, because in a few weeks, I'm going to announce to you what the Ohio Assemblies of God, the largest Pentecostal movement in the world, is going to do in Ohio starting in January. Some of you, many of you already know what that is. But we're going to go out and spread the word even more. The basic mandate for us was to seek and save the lost. And Carl Henry says, if we don't do the most basic thing, see, here's what happens in churches. And I'm seeing this, and you see this, and here's what happens in churches. Churches have the greatest children's ministry. We got a really good one. They have all these cool stuff. We got cool stuff, too. We're going to have even cooler stuff here shortly. But you can have all that cool stuff, and people could come in to see the cool stuff, but you don't have the very foundation, basic message of people and why you're in existence, as Carl Henry talks about. You don't even have the very basics, like Vince Lombardi talked about. You've got to have the basics, and if you don't have the basics, you have nothing in the church. You just got cool stuff. Church, I know cool stuff ministries. So do you. You know those cool stuff ministries. Some of them are local. Some are on TV. Some are, you know, they got cool stuff. They got all this stuff. But I always look for the emphasis of the basics. Are we reaching people? Are we preaching the message to reach people and get them into the kingdom? The core, the reason Jesus came, it's mission for life. Are we doing that? And the first and foremost thing that this church is going to do as I pastor is people seeking. People seeking. I'll do whatever I got to do to people seek. There are people in this church as we sit here today because I was people seeking. And you know who you are. There are people on the platform that my wife and I prayed here. Because if you remember, when we started, we had this vision that said God's going to send us 50 people that are lost in ministry and looking for a place and just feeling unsettled and not knowing. And, you know, and God said, I'm going to send you 50 people in the next 3 years. Well, I know there's about 15 of those people here today. And you're watching some of them on the platform as we sing and praise the Lord. Soldiers. Let's jump to Matthew 16, 13 through 19. It says, now when Jesus came to the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, hey, who do the people say I am? The Son of Man is who? What are they saying? What's the talk around town? They started going through some of the people. Well, you know, some say you're just John the Baptist. Others say Elijah, come back. Others say Jeremiah showed up again. You're just a prophet. You know, people today believe Jesus was just one of the prophets, right? Still today. But Jesus made it personal then. You know, it's funny. He goes right from asking the crowd, and people start, he says this. Then he goes right down to the personal. See, that's the way Jesus is. He's a very personal God. He's a one-to-one. He makes it personal. He says, but who do you say I am? Who do you say I am, Pastor Brad? Who do you say I am, Calvary Church? Who do you think I am? Simon Peter jumps up. You know the history there, right? Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon, or Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this answer to you. Flesh and blood didn't tell you. No person convinced you. It wasn't some argument you guys had and you just finally gave in and said, okay, I believe. But my Father who is in heaven gave you a revelation. And I tell you, Peter, on that rock of confession, I'll build my church. Church, if that was important enough for Jesus Christ to look Peter in the eye and said, on that very confession, I am going to build the worldwide church called Jesus Christ. And on that one thing, that one statement, that one dynamic, that one confession, that one situation, one-to-one, Jesus to Peter, right there, he built the church of Jesus Christ that you sit in today and enjoy the grace that he's given. It's powerful. Peter, on that rock of confession, I will build my church. And guess what? Not only will I build it, the gates of hell will never prevail against it. One person, one dialogue, one confession starts it. That's why I'm so emphatic about it. That's why I'm so convicted about it. That's why I'm so incensed about it. That's why I will do anything I possibly can do to make the facilities or whatever to reach just one that will sit in that chair. Whatever. And then the scripture continues and he says, because of that confession, I will build my church. The gates of hell will never prevail against it. And then he turns over something to him. Here, I'll give you the key to the kingdom of heaven because of that. And whatever you bound on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Church, that's a really powerful situation that takes place there. But the uniqueness, the power of that whole thing is that's just not for that day. That's for you and I today. If that doesn't get you excited, there's nothing I can preach that'll get you more excited than people in that phrase. Because look what happens there. Jesus tells Peter on that confession, I build my church. And then he rewards him because of that confession and gives him power. And that's why your pastor is just so convicted of that. Not only because that's the mandate for us, but it gives you power. The worse I feel, the more people I want to touch and reach. Because I understand as a pastor, and I'm sure you do too, that when you're feeling at your lowest, the best way to get out of that is to do what exactly the basics of what the mandate from heaven was in the first place. Just go get to a person. And then you realize that your problems aren't so much when you listen to somebody else's situation and you're the one that's guiding them from where they're at to where they need to be, right through what I just read in the passages of Scripture, because you know that once they make that confession, their lives change and God gives them power. Right there. So we go back to the basics. I stay in the basics because I want that for you. I want that for the person coming in. I want that for my life. I want it. I want it. I want it. So how does the church go out and get this new ground and stay in the basics? What do we got to do? Here's what we have to do. First, we've got to be a church of professing people. In verse 16, it says, Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus responded, blessed are you, Simon of Jonah, because flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father gave you a revelation. See, the revelation opened up the eyes. We don't have to go out and convince people. We just have to tell them. That's why I say, invite people. See, I didn't forget to say that this morning. It's in my sermon. That's why we have the invite cards that are on the sound booth in the back that says, you're invited. That's why I tell you to say, check in on Facebook. It's all about people. It's all about people. It's not some crazy thing I came up with. It's not some to be popular. It has nothing to do with any of that. It's all about people. Why? Because Jesus says it's about people. And I know that the scriptures are true, that if we just do these things, hey, back then they walked around the hillside in sandals. Today, we're on Facebook, we're on digital media, we're on social media to get the word out. Whatever it is, I don't care because it's all about people. If we have to check in on Facebook or whatever to reach a person, so the person says, I feel connected, I'm invited, I'm going to go there and try it, I'm going to see what they have going on there, I'm okay with that. If we let people have coffee, as my daughter has the largest coffee I've ever seen from Dunkin' Donuts in service today, which she always does, it's okay, I don't mind. It's okay. It's about people. But we have to be a church that professes this to other people. We invite them. Why? Because a church that takes new ground stays very basic. And they profess Jesus Christ as Savior every day of their lives. Because that's the mandate. The second thing is, what does it take for a church to take new ground? We have to be a church of people in process. Listen, 18. And I also say to you that you are Peter. And on this rock of confession, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. See, there's a process there, and I've been telling you that ever since I showed up here, that there's a process to God. God takes us through processes, or if you want to pronounce it correctly, processes. You didn't think I knew that, did you? I do know that. Processes, I'm told. But I like to say process because that's what we understand. We go through a process. He takes us through a process. Where we're at to where he wants us to be. Wait. That sounds like there's an end. The process of God is never ending. I'm always learning. I'm always growing. I take the basics and I build on that. But if the foundation of my basics of asking and telling and reaching other people is crumbling, I've got nothing above it. I've got nothing above it to hold on to and say, I've got substance here. If I stop, and I have seen churches do this, and it doesn't take long for the church to eventually go away, the church, not the Church of Jesus Christ, but the local assembly, because they stop doing what we were told to do, the basic thing is reach a person. Listen, in Philippians 1:6, it says it like this, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. The day of Jesus Christ. There's that process that continues. We are out there on the battlefield, as Lynn Lombardi talks about. We have to leave it all on the field. And we have to work hard. It's a process, not only to build the Church of Jesus Christ, but to build me, to a better me, and a better you. What is a church that takes new ground? It's a church of called out people. Called out people. 18, it says it right there. And I tell you, Peter, on this rock I'll build my church. Called out. See, it's kind of crazy, but Jesus is addressing a crowd and he says, who do they say I am? And people shout out, but he goes right to the person. He calls out the person. And if you haven't figured this out yet, your pastor has been called out. That's why I'm like the way I am. I've been called out. I've been called out for a while now. This is what I'm called out. He's called me out. He's singled me out and he said, it's you at Calvary Church. Now go out and teach them it's about people. And make them understand that we got to go get people. Not for money. I beg no godly people for their money. I'll beg the ungodly for their money. I'm not going to beg God's people because they're already called to give. But I've been called out. That's why I'm doing what I do. I've been called out. And I'm going to do exactly what I'm told to do, and I'm going to continue to do it. And I appreciate, again, Denny saying that this morning because he's getting it, but I'm called out. God's called me from something to something. Called out people. I'm going to tell you what this means. We're not a, you know, the church is not a building. I hope everyone understands that. Church of Jesus Christ is not a building. The Church of Jesus Christ is you and I. The building is only where we assemble. But it's not the church. We have this confusion in America that the church is the local assembly. That's not the church. The church is you and I. And every time you leave the local assembly and you leave the building, you are the church. You're always the church. We go out to reach people. We just come back in the building to assemble. We should come back in the building and tell of the successes of our missionary outreaches. Pastor, why are we building a new building then? Renovating another building. Why then? Why? You don't need that. I'll tell you why. I want a greater connection with the people and with each other. That's why. I want to do whatever I can do to make a greater connection to the people that we go out and we bring into the kingdom. Whatever that looks like, however we can do that. I want to use that building for discipleship and outreach. I want this building filled with kids. Because one of the core values of this church is we value the younger generation, and I am working so hard and diligently trying to find more people that are called into children's and youth ministry. And I would ask that you continue to pray for that, because guess what? Ministers don't want to do it anymore like they did when I was growing up. I did it. I was a youth leader for quite a few years, and they just don't want to do it anymore. I got a 50-year-old guy next door screaming and yelling. Screaming and yelling for Jesus with those kids. Peter calls us a people to take us from darkness to light and assemble us together. We come together in the building, and I was going to make renovations and make better connections and more discipleship. We'll do whatever we got to do. People. What is a church that takes new ground? It's a prevailing people. People of influence. Same scripture. And I tell you, you are Peter. See, the scripture says, you are Peter. You are Todd. You are Denny. You are Rhonda. You're Max. You're Joan. You are Tim. He identifies Peter. Peter knows who he is. But Jesus looked at him and says, you're the guy I'm asking. That's why he did it. You're the guy. Robin, you're the one. It's you. I don't think Denny could have had more prophetic words today. He had no idea what I was speaking on. He had no idea. Pastor, you're the one that's instilling this in us. And I'm getting it. It's great. We are a people of prevailing influence. Listen to the scripture. And I tell you, Peter, on this confession I build my church. You and I, you know, Jesus takes us to the edge. Jesus takes us right to the edge of hell and says, battle, but leave it all on the field. I am with you wherever you go. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You are my warriors. You are my soldiers. And he makes it personal. He's made it personal with me. And I'm up for the call. I'm up for it. I want to be a person of influence. All that is a one-to-one reach a person for Jesus Christ. He takes me to the edge. He's forward-thinking. He's forward-facing. He looks at all the opposing views and says, I can overcome that because I overcame the world. Jesus called us to the mission field. Take this gospel and take it to wherever you can take it, to the edge of the earth, the ends of the earth, right to the edge of Hades, right to the edge, right to the place. That's where you'll find the church of Jesus Christ, right? Wherever the church exists, culture thrives. Ever notice that? Church, I'm going to tell you something. You go back through history and you look at where the church of Jesus Christ showed up, that community thrives. Why? Because we care about people. Every single place throughout history, anytime the church shows up, people thrive. Anytime the area is void of the Church of Jesus Christ, it crumbles. Just start thinking we're in our United States and foreign. You know, but Jesus puts the church wherever. Let me tell you something. Don't think as we go into Mission Sunday here in a few weeks that the Church of Jesus Christ isn't thriving in other lands where you're not allowed to preach the gospel. That doesn't keep Christ from advancing his church. They do it underground. They hide. The Church of Jesus Christ can't be stopped. It goes forward. We send missionaries out there, which we'll talk about in a few weeks. We do whatever we have to do to reach the people, even if they have to do it underground. We'll give them a Bible. Power. Right? Power. Same power that moves.